gentlemen, and welcome to the Inspire Conference. My name is Rabbi Dubov, and I'm going to start off by giving one of the first sessions, which is called the Kabbalah of Kiddush. First of all, the reason why I chose the theme...
You need to say that the Shabbat has now finished. And that we do by making Kiddush on Friday night and Havdalah on Motzei Shabbat. In fact, halachically, it is enough to fulfill this commandment by making a verbal mention in the prayers. So in fact, halachically, when we pray on Friday night and we mention the sanctity of the Shabbat, that is enough midoraita, according strictly biblically, to fulfill this mitzvah. Yet, the Rabbanan, the rabbis instituted that we should in fact make a special blessing over a cup of wine. You all sitting in this room have different customs of how to make Kiddush. The Chabad custom is that we use a silver becher, a cup, which does not have a foot. It's flat. It sits on a plate. We fill it up with wine. We lift the Kiddush cup up in our right hand, give it to the left hand, hold the right hand in a form of a cup shape with the fingers, the four fingers standing up and the agudal, the thumb lying flat, and place with the left hand the Kiddush cup down into the palm of the right hand. We then hold the Kiddush cup three tefachim, three fists above the table, or in fact, you hold it almost near your heart, and you look at the candles before you recite the Kiddush, you look inside the Siddur, you look at the wine when you're making the Borei Pri HaGafen, you have in mind to include all those sitting around, and then you sit down. We all stand for Kiddush on Friday night, for Kiddush on Shabbat day. There's various customs as to whether people stand or sit down. But today, I'm going to be focusing on the Kiddush of Friday night. We all start with the words Yom HaShishi VaYechulu HaShamayim. In the Ashkenaz text, we say also the words Vayihi Erev Vayihi Boker, but quietly, and then start Yom HaShishi aloud. In the Nusach, in the text of the Ari, we don't say Vayihi Erev Vayihi Boker. We just start with the words Yom HaShishi Vayechulu HaShamayim. And that itself requires explanation. If the Kiddush is the inception, the bringing in of Shabbat, then why at all are we mentioning Vayihi Erev Vayihi Boker Yom HaShishi? Yom HaShishi has now finished. Yom HaShabbat is starting. So why at all mention Yom HaShishi? Let's just leave it and start Vayechulu HaShamayim. And if we are mentioning the Yom HaShishi, then mention the entire verse. Say Vayihi Erev Vayihi Boker Yom HaShishi aloud. We do something in the middle. We start with the words Yom HaShishi Vayechulu HaShamayim. Why do we do that? And then in the Vayechulu itself, Vayechulu HaShamayim V'Ha'aretz V'Chaltz V'Chaltz V'Am, the heavens and the earth were finished. Vayechal Elokim Bayom HaShvi'i, and God finished on the seventh day the work which He had done. Vayishbot Bayom HaShvi'i, and He rested on the seventh day. If you scrutinize the verse very carefully, you'll see that superficially, there is a contradiction in the verse itself. One part of the verse says, Vayechal Elokim Bayom HaShvi'i Melachto Asher Asah, which from those words, the implication is that God finished the work on the seventh day. And then it says, Vayishbot Bayom HaShvi'i, that He rested on the seventh day. He didn't do any work on the seventh day. So there seems to be a stira, a contradiction in the verse itself. When did God finish the work? Did He finish it on the seventh day, or did He finish it on the sixth day? Furthermore, when we finish that paragraph, we say the words Asher bara Elokim la'asot, which is very difficult to translate. How do you translate the words? Let's have a bit of a participation here. Can anybody help me in translating the words Asher bara, which God created, la'asot? What does la'asot mean? To do. You're absolutely right. La'asot means to do. But in English, that doesn't make sense. Which God created to do. To do what? What is the meaning of the word la'asot? The Talmud says, when we say Vayechulu HaShemayim on Friday night, we become witnesses. We witness the fact that God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. A witness stands in a witness box. And consequently, we must stand when we recite Vayechulu HaShemayim. And the reason why we stand at the very beginning of it, and the reason why we start Yom HaShishi, is because if you take the first letters of the word Yom, it's a Yud. The first letter of the word HaShishi, it's a Hey. The first letter of the word Vayechulu, it's a Vav. And the first letter of the word HaShemayim, it's a Hey. And that spells out Yud, Hey, Vav, and a final Hey, which is God's name. And we must stand when we mention God's name. We are bearing witness to the fact that Hashem, now I'm going to use a specific word because in the course of this talk I'll be using it many times, the tetragrammaton, the four-lettered name of God, I am going to call it during the course of this lecture the Shem Havaya. Shem Havaya, the name Havaya. Hey, Vav Yod, because you're not allowed to mention God's name as it's written, and consequently, in order to refer to it, I could call it the Shem HaMeforesh, the explicit name, but I'm going to use in the course of this lecture the name Shem Havaya. So at the very beginning and the inception of Kiddush, Yom HaShishi Vayechulu HaShemayim, the Rashei Tevot, the first letters of those words, we begin the Friday night by mentioning the name Havaya. And what do we say? Vayachal Elokim Bayom HaShvi'i. Elokim, which is another name of God, is one of the translations of Vayachal, means is finished. Elokim is finished on the Yom HaShvi'i, and Shabbat is a Shabbat Lashem. It's a Shabbat for Havaya. What do these two names of God specifically refer to? What is the difference between the Shem Havaya and the Shem and the name Elohim? There is a verse which says the following: Ki Shemesh Umogain Hashem Elohim. Like a sun and its sheath is Hashem and Elohim. Which means that the two names of God, Havaya and Elohim, denote the sun and the sun's sheath. This is how the scripture describes the relationship between Havaya and Elohim. What does that mean? The Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, has within it the three words, Haya, he was, Hoveh, he is, Yihyeh, he will be. That is godliness as it's transcendent of time. Godliness as it transcends physicality, eternity, infinity. Elohim, by the way, I'm using the word Elohim. The truth is I'm substituting the letter Kuf for the letter He. Really, it should be Eloh and written with a He, Yud Mem, Him. But I'm putting Kuf there because, again, we're pronouncing it not in its correct context, and so consequently we always use Elohim. If you take the Gematria, the numerical value of the name Elohim, let's add it up. Aleph is 1. Lamed is 30. Hey is 5. Yud is 10. And Mem is 40. If you add it all up, let's add it up. Let's go through that again. Aleph, 1. Lamed, 30. 31. Hey, 5. 36. Yud, 10. 46. Mem, 40. 86. Elohim is the gematria, the numerical value of 86. There is a word in Hebrew for nature. The Hebrew word for nature is teva. Tet, vet, ayin. Ha teva means the nature. What is the gematria of the word ha teva? He is 5. Tet is 9, 5 and 9 is 14, Vet is 2, 14 plus 2, 16, Ayin is 70, 16 plus 70 is 86. So the gematria of Elohim equals the word Hateva, which means the nature. And now we understand the relationship between Havaya and Elohim, the Shemesh, the sun, and its sheath. Because Havaya is the level of godliness which is transcendent, which is infinite. Elohim denotes godliness as its imminent, within the creation, within the constructs of nature, within the parameters of nature. And consequently, Elohim is the same gematria as Hateva. The Maor, the luminary, is Havaya, but the luminary Havaya cannot shine within the confines of nature. It's much too powerful. So it needs constriction. It needs tzimtzum. It needs bringing within nature, and that is the name Elohim. So, just we talk about global warming. If you were to take the ultraviolet layer away, it would all burn up. It's just too hot. The sun is too powerful. In order for the world to exist, there needs to be an ultraviolet layer. There needs to be something which will shield the heat and the intensity of the sun. Ki shemesh umogein Hashem Havaya Elohim. Havaya is the shemesh, is the sun, the luminary, God himself. And Elohim is the nature within which God shines. Now, if you have a look in Genesis and read from the beginning of Bereshit, it says Bereshit bara Elohim, et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz. Who did the creating in Genesis? The name Elohim, because in order to create nature, it has to come through Elohim, and consequently, Elohim creates. Fascinatingly, if you count up the number of times that Elohim is used in the account of Genesis, you'll find it's used 32 times. The name Elohim is used 32 times. Why 32? It says in Kabbalah, because the world was created belamed bet netivot chachma, the world was created with 32 pathways of wisdom. And those 32 pathways represent the chaf bet otiot, the 22 letters of the aleph bet, and the 10 sefirot, the 10 modes or attributes of God. God creates through words, through combinations of letters of divine powers, which they represent, and 22 plus 10 is 32. 32 times Elohim is mentioned in Bereshit. Shabbat, however, is Shabbat Lashem. On Shabbat, the whole world has an aliyah, has an elevation. The world rises from Elohim, from being within the facade of Hateva of nature, and rises Lashem to that which is above nature. And consequently, Vayachal Elohim Bayom HaShvi'i, Elohim is finished on the Yom HaShvi'i. The tzimtzum, the constriction, the concealment of nature, of the natural order is concealed, and we rise above. And therefore, at the very inception, we say Yom HaShishi Vayachulu HaShemayim, indicating that we are now on the level of Yud Kei Vav Kei. How do we do that? We take wine. Wine in Hebrew is called Yayin. Yayin is Begimatria 70. Yud is 10. Yud is 10. Nun is 50. 50 plus 10 plus 10 is 70. 70 is the number which represents a specific divine attribute called Malchut. Those who have learned a little bit of Kabbalah will know there's 10 Sfirot. The 10th Sfira is called Malchut, and Malchut is represented by the number of 70. The reason is because in the triads of the Sfirot, you have the first triad being Chochma, Bina, and Da'at, Seichel. Then you have Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod, which is the 6 days of the week, the 6 emotions. And finally you have Malchut. So if you have Malchut with the 6 emotions, and the fullness of the 10 Sfirot, which they have inclusive of each other, you have 70. And consequently, Malchut represents the number 70. Another name for Malchut is Shekhinah, the resting of the divine presence. It all depends, it's all a question of semantics of how you term it. Now you take the yayin is the 70, the idea of, you know, the Talmud says, nichnas yayin yetzei sod. The wine comes in, the secrets come out. Sod, samach vav dalet, which in Hebrew means a secret, is also Begimatria 70. Samach is 60, Vav is 6, and Dalet is 4. Add it up, and it equals 70. So when the wine goes in, the secret comes out. What secret comes out? During the 6 days of the week, you are operating under Elohim, the facade of Elohim. But the secret of Shabbat LaHashem comes out by the Kiddush. Because then you pour the Yayin, which represents the Malchut, the Shekhinah, into the cup. What is the Hebrew word for a cup?
Kos.
A kos. Kaf, Vav, Samach. What is the gematria, the numerical equivalent of the word kos? Kaf is 20, Vav is 6, and Samach is 60. What does that equal? 86. The same gematria as the word Hateva, the nature. The same gematria as the word Elohim. So you pour the Yayin, which is Besod Malchut, with the secret of the Shekhinah, into the kos, into the cup, which you lift up. The cup must be above 3 tefachim, it must be above 3/5, or according to the Ari, it must be near one's chest. Why? Because you're actually lifting nature up in order to receive Yayin. Kabbalistically, even more, there are 4 worlds, Atzilut, Bria, Yitzira, and Asiya. The reason you lift the cup up 3 tefachim is because you want to lift the cup above the world of Asiya, above the world of Yitzira, above the world of Bria, 3 worlds, 3 tefachim, in order to receive from the Yayin, which represents the Shekhinah, the Malchut, which goes into the cup.
So
And in fact, you do that with a yad. What is a yad? A yad is five fingers. How do you write five in Hebrew? A hey is five. A hey is made up of two letters, a dalet and a yud. A dalet and a yud. Dalet is four and a yud is 10, 14. Why is your hand called a yad? Because you've got 14 bones in your fingers. Add them up. 3, 6, 9, 12, 13, 14. The yad, which is the hay, lifts up the kos in order to receive the yayin of malchut. Now, there is a beautiful medrash. A medrash rabbah in Bereshit Perek Yud, in Bereshit chapter 10. The medrash asks the question which we started at the beginning of this lecture. Rebbe She'ela l'Rebbe Shmuel b'Rebbe Yosi. Rebbe, who was Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, asked a question of another sage called Rebbe Shmuel, the son of Rebbe Yosi. Amar lo, he said to him, Shamata me'avicha. Did you ever hear from your father, Mahu v'yechal l'kim v'yom hashvi et ma'a? Did you ever hear the interpretation of the superficial stira, contradiction in that verse? On the one hand, it says Vayechal Elokim b'yom hashvi, that on, the work was finished on the seventh day, and on the other hand, it says that God rested on the seventh day. So, did He finish the work on the seventh day, or did He rest on the seventh day? There's numerous midrashic interpretations, other interpretations. According to some, it means that God, in fact, did create something on the seventh day. What did He create? He created menucha. He created rest. And rest is not something which is done by desisting from work. It actually has an intensity and a creativity of its own. Nevertheless, I'm going to share with you today two answers of the Midrash. Two different answers of the Midrash. The Midrash says, Geniva v'rabbanan. There is two opinions, one by a man called Geniva, and one by opinion of the Rabbanan of the rabbis. And they answered the contradiction in the verse in the following way. Geniva Omar, Geniva says, Moshe l'melech, this can be compared to a king, Sha'osa lo'i chupa, who made a chupa, Vitzira v'chira, he decorated and embellished this beautiful chuppah. Uma hayta chasera, what was the chuppah missing? Color. It was missing a color. It was missing a bride. Shetikanes l'chuppah, who would enter into the chuppah? Kach ma hayah olam chaser, so too what was the world missing? Shabbat. The world is like a chuppah. What was it missing? A color. So when Shabbat came, the color arrived. That's the opinion of Geniva. Rabbanan Amri, the rabbis answer the contradiction in the verse in a different way. Moshe l'melech, this can be compared to a king she'osu lo'i tabat, who made a ring. Ma hayta chasera chotem. What was it missing? It was missing a seal, a signet. It was a ring without a seal. Kach mahaya ha'olam chaser Shabbat. So too, what was the world missing? Shabbat. Ve'ze echad min ha'dvarim she'shinu l'talmai ha'melech. And this is one of the things which, when Ptolemy the king asked the Septuagint, the 70 sages, to translate the Bible into Greek, you know the famous story. The famous story is that Talmai asked 70 sages to translate the Torah into Greek, and he put them in different cubicles. He didn't allow them to communicate with each other, and he warned them that if any one of them would change the translation, he'd kill all of them. And a miracle happened that they all mistranslated the same things. One of them was in this verse, because there's a contradiction in the verse. When did God finish the work? And they all translated it that God finished on the sixth day rather on the seventh day. There is, however, a beautiful ma'amar, a beautiful discourse of the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe in his Sefer HaMarim, Ma'amorim Teitov Shin, in Dibur HaMaschel HaShavsoysa Tishmeru, where he explains this medrash in the following way, and you will of course now understand it through the introduction of what we've already said so far. The Friedrich Rebbe says, what is the chuppah? God made a chuppah. He says the chuppah are the three worlds of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. The world which is created, yesh me'ayin, something from nothing. A world that is an independent existence than God. Seemingly. What is the kala? Kala is malchut da'atzilut. It's the Shekhinah, the divine presence, as it is in the world of Atzilut, the world of emanation, the highest world. God created a world. He created a chuppah. What was the world missing? It was missing the kala. What is the kala? The resting of the Shekhinah. Shabbat is called a kala. Boi kala, boi kala. We always refer to Shabbat as a kala. And says Geneva, that is the meaning of the word Vayachal Elohim Bayom HaShvi'i, Vayachal, from the meaning of the word kala. On Yom HaShvi'i came the kala. What is the kala? Malchut of Atzilut, the resting of the divine presence which came down to the world. Lecha dodi likrat kala, pnei Shabbat mekabela. Let us receive pnei Shabbat, the face of the Shabbat. What is the face of the Shabbat? The face of the Shekhinah. And that is the whole idea of Shabbat. Shabbat is Aliyat HaOlamot, the elevation of every single echelon in the world. Whatever you have been immersed in the entire week, there is an elevation on Shabbat. Everything goes up and the Shekhinah, the divine resting, comes down. You receive Tosfot Neshama. You receive an extra soul on Shabbat. What is that extra dimension? What is that extra soul? That is the illumination of the color of the divine presence which rests in your soul on Friday night, and consequently we start it by saying Yom HaShishi Vayechulu HaShemayim. V'Rabbanan Amri, and the rabbis say, Tabat V'Chotem. There is a ring and its signet. What does the word taba'at mean? A ring. A ring is round. It comes from the word teva, nature. Hateva, the nature, the Elohim. So the Elohim, the 32 Elohims in Bereshit, is there during the 6 days of the week. But what was the world missing? Chotem. It was missing the seal. What is the seal? What is the last few words of Kiddush we say on Friday night? Asher bara Elohim la'asot. What is the last letter of the word bara? Aleph. What is the last letter of the word Elohim? Mem. What is the last letter of the word la'asot? Taf. Aleph, mem, taf reads Emet. That is the seal. Emet. The truth. What is the truth? The truth is that this world, which seems to us as Elohim, as, if you want, a natural arena, is in truth made and created and sustained by divine creative energy which is pumped into it ex nihilo, something from nothing, every single second to vivify it. And when we plug in to that pulsating divine presence, Shabbat Lahavaya, that's the Chotem, that is the seal. This Aliyah, this elevation of all worlds, which takes place on Shabbat, in truth is split into three movements, three soul movements. Friday night, Shabbat day, and Su'udah Shlishit, the time just before Shabbat goes out. In Zohar, the words used are, Friday night is called Ma'alei Shabbata, Shabbat day is called Yuma de Shabbata, the Shabbat day, and Su'uda Shlishit is called Raiva de Raivin, which means the will of wills, the height of pleasure, the top, the crescendo, the apex. This aliyah, the whole lifting up of the week to receive the kala, to allow the Shem Hashem, the Emet, the Havaya, to permeate the Elohim, has three movements. The first is Friday night. Friday night has to do with the Birur, V'zichuch Haguf, V'nefesh HaBahamet. What I'm telling you now is taken from a ma'amar of the Rebbe in Sefer HaMa'amarim, Menukat, Chelek Hei, Dibur HaMatzchel, Eilat Oder Noach. There the Rebbe explains the following. Ma'alei Shabbatah means you take the world, you take the physicality, you take everything you've been involved in, and you start transforming it. Let's put it down to earth. You take a shower, you take a bath, you get dressed in your Shabbat clothes, you cut your nails, you take a haircut, you clean the house, you make the beds, you set the table, you prepare the candles, you get the food ready. And then you light the candles. Everything is prepared. Misha tarach be'erev Shabbat yochal b'Shabbat, says the Talmud. Somebody who prepares on Friday will eat on Saturday, will eat on Shabbat. That seems to be obvious, but what the Talmud is telling us is according to the effort and the preparation, so too is the reward which you'll have. And when those two angels accompany you on Friday night, and one gives, you sing Shalom Aleichem and you welcome them, and one says, oh, what a beautiful Friday night, just as it is this Friday night, so soon it should be always on Friday night, and the other one says, Amen, and we welcome them. Then we make Kiddush, we bring in the Shabbat LaHashem. So we take the creation as it is from bottom up. That's Ma'alei Shabbatah. In Kabbalah, and those who say what's called Tikkunei Shabbat, those who in their Zemirot read what's called a Tikkun, an explanation from the Arizal, from Rabbi Yitzchak Luria, will know that it says that the Su'udah, the meal of Friday night, is called the meal of Chakal Tapuchin Kadishin, of the field of holy apples. What does that mean? That is a reference to the Sefira of Malchut. Chakal Tapuch in Kaddishin means Malchut, which means the Shekhinah. It's the resting of the Shekhinah. How do you and I feel it? We ain't got connections with the Sefira of Malchut. I don't know about you, but certainly not me. When I slump down in the chair on Friday night, and we've made Kiddush, and the challah's been cut, and you breathe that menucha of Friday night, that is the resting of the Divine Presence in your body. So there's the birur, there's the elevation, the refining of the body. You've stopped the cycle of the hamster treadmill, of going through, for me, the text messaging, the responding to the emails, the run and run and run of this world. It just stops. Vayonach bayem hashvi. I once put it that you step out of the creation into the Creator. The next stage is the day of Shabbat. Your body is rested, but now you need to infuse your soul. How do we do that? Tefillah. We pray longer than the weekday. We start later, not too late. We start later, and we spend more time on prayer, and we learn Torah We have a huge Kriyat HaTorah, Torah reading much greater than what we would do during the week. Why? Because Torah is divine wisdom as it flows down the worlds and it enters our physical realm. But in essence, it is Chachmato Uletzono Yitzbarach, it is divine will and wisdom, which is translated into terms which we can appreciate. And when you hear that Torah, and you have the tefillah of Shabbat day, that is the movement of the godly soul, of how it becomes permeated and filled, and how it has this tremendous ga'aguim, this tremendous will and desire to become attached. So you have the elevation of the body on Friday night, and you have the drenching of the soul in the beautiful calming waters of the Torah and tefillah on Shabbat day. You have Shemayim, and you have Aretz. And then you move into Shabbat afternoon, Suda Shlishit, which by the way in Kabbalah is the highest moment of Shabbat. That's called Raiva Deraiva, that's the apex. Because then we say in the Tefillah of Shabbat afternoon, Ata Echad V'Shimcha Echad. At that stage, heaven and earth fuse, body and soul fuse. And at that stage, we don't only elevate the body, nor do we drench the soul. But in fact, we fuse the two of them in the knowledge that we stand before the very essence of God. The oneness of God that creates both body and soul, that creates both heaven and earth. That said at the very beginning of the creation, that in the creation He created heaven and earth. He created man and woman to oscillate between the two. That's what we do on this world. We are not angel figures, but we can rise to great spiritual heights, but we can also descend to hedonistic, crass hedonism. We can do that. On Shabbat, what do? We have an aliyah. We lift ourselves up. One day in the week, we step out of that creation into the Creator, so that when we enter that new week, Minei mitbarchin kulhu yomim, says the Zohar, the Shabbat blesses every single day of the coming week. By the way, this says the Alter Rebbe explains a stira between a Babli and a Yerushalmi. The Alter Rebbe is called Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Liadin. In fact, this Inspire conference is always made before Yutet Kislev, the Chag HaGaula, the Day of Redemption of Rabbi Shneur Zalman, in fact, which is the Rosh Hashanah, the New Year of Hasidic teachings. And he, in Likutei Torah, his famous book in Parshat Bahar, asks a question that in the Talmud Bavli, it says, Ilmalei Meshamim Yisrael Bet Shabbatot Kehilchatan Miyad HeLigalin. If the Jews would keep two Shabbatot, they would immediately be redeemed. And if you have a look in the Yerushalmi and Ta'anit, Perek Aleph, Sof Halach Aleph, it says there, if the Jews would keep one Shabbat, immediately Ben David, the Mashiach, would come. So it seems to be a contradiction between the Bavli and Yerushalmi. So the Alter Rebbe explains, there's two levels in Shabbat. There's the level of the elevation of the body, which happens on Friday night, and there is the bringing down of the Shekhinah, the bringing down of the Divine Presence through Torah and Tefillah on Shabbat day. And now let us summarize with the 3 minutes left everything that we've said. On Friday night, when we come home and we lift that kos, which is Begimatria Hateva, up, you lift the nature up three tefachim, three worlds, in order to receive from the world of Atzilut, in order to receive the Shekhinah, the Yayin, the 17th of the wine, which is poured into the cup and overflows the cup, because that's the blessing of the Shabbat. Kos Yeshuot Esa V'Shem Hashem Ekra. It is Kosi Revaya, my cup overfloweth. It's supposed to overflow because the Yayin, the Shekhinah, is to overflow into and over the Teva, into the table and onto the world. And you lift that cup up, you realize what you're lifting up is your mundane activity. Everything that you've done during the week comes to an elevation. Your prayers, your learning, your davening, your work. Everything must be lifted up on that day to focus on the truth, the emet, the chotam, the seal, which is Asher Bara Elokim La'asot. And we ask the question, what does La'asot mean to do? Because God wants us to do. This is a world of action, but we can only do when we are focused. There was once an advert in the Israeli newspapers which had a whole page saying, Yemin, Smol, Yemin, Smol, Yemin, Smol, right, left, right, left, right, left. And the bottom of the page there was a caption which read, Aval La'an, but where are you going? We can go and go and go and go and go and go and go. But where are you going? There's one day in the week that gives us that focus. When we lift up that Hateva and we say, Yom HaShishi VaYechlu HaShemayim, we bring the Malchut, the Shechina down into the world, Shabbat Lashem. And by doing that, that brings us all of God's blessings. Borei Peri HaGefen. There's an old saying that HaGefen stands, Gimel stands for Gesund, health, Pei stands for Parnosa, well, income, and Nun stands for Nachas, joy from the children. Borei Peri HaGefen. HaGefen means the Harchava with a lot of it. Please God, when we make Kiddush on Friday night again, we should bear these thoughts in mind of how, when the rabbis instituted making this on a cup of wine, as in everything in Torah, there are levels and levels. It's beautiful, it's deep. Let us immerse ourselves in those refreshing waters, and may we merit those blessings of gesund, of good health, parnasa, of income, and nachas, and joy from our children, but ultimately merit the Shabbat which will eventually come, the day of Mashiach, because then it will be a long Shabbat, the 6,000 years of the world culminating in Shabbat, the 7th millennium, the time when it will be truly the Shavta Haaretz, the land will rest as a Shabbat Lashem, as a Shabbat to God. Thank you very much.